Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
And now, coming to you live from atop the Lavender Town Radio Tower, it's the one, the only, Puckle Podcast.
Champions League, oh yeah. Puckle! Welcome to another episode of the Puckle Podcast. I am your host, Trainer Thatch, here today with my spectacular co-host from the best coast. We've got the one and only Linian.
Hello.
And we've got Mark, who is patiently waiting.
Oh, hi.
And of course, welcome to the Puckle Podcast. Puckle, of course, stands for the Pokemon Underground Champions League, a nonsensical name we came up with in 2007, where we talk everything Pokemon, from the trading card game to the video game to everything in between. And I am very happy to be here today with all of you while I await my fate in the news. So this will be a very welcome distraction. All right. But yeah. I don't know that I have too much Pokemon stuff that I've done this week. Some other things have been on my mind, for those of you who know me. My newsfeed has been filled with things that are not Pokemon, to find out what my job will entail on this upcoming Monday.
Which, if you're listening, you already know.
Yep.
Yeah.
You'll know the answer for sure. I feel like I know the answer recording before Monday.
Yeah.
Welcome to the Puckle Podcast. Like I said, I played some TCG this week to do some stuff. I mean, so I was in Madison, Wisconsin a couple weeks ago. One, not as bad of a place as I thought it would be.
Why would you think it was bad?
Because it's the Midwest, and it's just like, hey, here's another city in the Midwest.
But Madison's like one of those like hip towns. Like everybody wins. It's a, I don't know. I know some people who live there, and it seems like a very, it's like the Austin of the Midwest.
I don't know that I would call it the Austin, but it is definitely pretty chill. Like, the lakes are actually beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
I love looking at the lakes in Madison. I had been in Madison in, like, 2016, but this is my first time back there since, as, like, a proper adult, not a grad student. But, like, downtown, like, the bar scene was pretty cool and chill. I was actually pretty impressed. So, Madison, you've got it. You've got it. But, yeah, I was there. And so one of the things that I've been trying to find for the longest time, well, not trying to find, but one of the things I look out for, and this does come back to Pokemon, I promise, is Gengenic Matte Prime sleeves. They are incredibly difficult to get because apparently, like, I think Gengenic is just getting into the sleeves game, and I think they're having a hard time getting, like, a good, oh my gosh, supply chain going with them. So it's actually very difficult to get the Gengenic Prime sleeves. And I tried them out recently because one of my local game stores in Dayton had some, and I bought them and I actually really like them. The problem is they only had like one color, and it's like this really awkward, I want to say lime green, but they're not really lime green sleeves. And they've got this beautiful like turquoise blue sleeve that I wanted instead. But it's very hard to get a hold of. But I went to Madison and I was walking around. I went to a small little TCG store there. It was definitely mostly meant for Magic and not for Pokemon people, but I went in there. I almost bought Fort, Linian. I almost bought Fort. They had it. And I went in there, and they had the Prime Matte sleeves in the blue color, and so I bought out whatever they had in stock. Because I like them as a nice cheap sleeve, because they're a little bit cheaper than the Dragon Shields, and I feel like they shuffle pretty fine. I have no problems with the shuffle feel.
I at some point will need to stop using the different Dragon Shields, mostly because the store that I buy, between myself and my fiance, we're basically using them all for different decks.
Yeah.
And given that they can absolutely be played in the same game, it can be a problem with how cards change hands in that game.
Yep.
So it's like, oh no.
That would be a problem.
But yeah, I picked some of those up. It was a good time. I haven't put a deck in them yet because I was like, oh man, I was following my rule of when a new set comes out, you just wait a little bit to watch the card prices fall, but that is not happening with 151. Like, the card price is pretty much like bottomed out on release day and now they're going back up.
Did they? Yeah, that's funny.
Yeah, they're going, well, I think it's because it's, this isn't one is not a typical set, right? It's not like a standard set. It's like, I can't buy a booster box of 151.
No.
I have to go buy, you know, 151 products, which is slightly annoying. Pokemon. Mm. They do it to me on purpose.
It seems to be a little difficult to get a hold of.
Just
a little bit.
And they're selling out like crazy, like, because it's a very collectible set. Like, from the collector standpoint, this is the set to get into, right?
Yeah, I thought that was its whole thing, was that it was a collector's set.
It really is, but there's like a couple cards that are like not too bad. Nothing game changing. Like, we didn't get like a brand new deck or anything out of this set.
Mm-hmm.
But we did get like fun little tech cards. Like, the Mew EX in this set is actually pretty decent, and it makes colorless Lugia slightly better than not colorless Lugia.
Oh, because that's what we needed, was more of that thing.
Actually, Lugia's pretty balanced post-rotation where we don't have special energies for everything.
That's fair. Okay.
Combined with amazing rares that require, like the amazing rares have, like, these really cool attacks, but they required, like, three different types of energy. And nobody's doing that, except for Lugia.
And Mew helps you get that?
Mew doesn't help you do that. What Mew does, what the Mew EX does, is it's three colorless energy. Mm-hmm. And you can use any attack on your opponent's active Pokemon against them, right?
Ah.
Regardless of the energy cost, right? You can just use it. And that is somewhat powerful. Like, a good example would be, like, if you're playing against Maridon, which Lugia historically has a bad matchup against because of weakness. If you play Maridon, Maridon's attack does 220 damage straight out the gate. And you can just put the Mew up and then just do 220 directly back to them. And that knocks out the Maridon as well. So it's good in terms of that response. And, like, another card that's not too terribly bad is the Zapdos EX. That's starting to see, it's starting to pop up in a couple of decks, mostly Maridon decks, because it does 120 damage, but then it'll do 90 to a bench Pokemon as long as it's got damage counters on it. So if you're playing against a deck that, does a bunch of switchy tricks to try to get around you getting a knockout, you can kind of just bring the Zapdos in and clean up in the game pretty easily. There's a couple things. And then Blastoise might be good one day. I don't know.
It'll
be okay.
It's not terrible.
It's not terrible. I just think there's better decks. Like, I think that's the problem with Blastoise right now. There's also a bunch of, like, little stuff, like the Beedrill's actually really cool. Like, once Lost Box gets nerfed into the ground, the Beedrill's going to be really cool.
Hmm.
And that Day of Reckoning is coming. That Day of Reckoning will be upon us very soon with the next set, but... Yeah. Anything you guys have been up to lately?
Honestly, yeah. I don't know. Not much for me. What about you, Mark?
I think this is the last time I've been on. I've done quite a bit. I started, as a horrible decision, starting to rebuild my long-lost collection of Pokemon cards.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I know. It was a mistake. But
yes, it is.
Junie was interested in getting some Pokemon cards. She saw my old ones and she really liked them, so she was very attached to, this is a while ago when I showed it to her, but she's really attached to Poliwag. Mm-hmm. And so she kept saying, I want to touch it, I want to hold it, I want to hug it. And I was like, okay, well, I can't do that, it's not real. But what I can do, so what I did was, it's, I found real, like, a little plushie, and I kind of held it onto it. I bought it and I held onto it and waited for her to bring it up again. And this past week, was it last week? She mentioned it again. She was like, she was, had the cards out and she was like, oh, Poliwag, you know, I love it. And she gave it a hug and everything was kind of cute. So I was like, hey, well, I'm going to be at home tomorrow. And while I'm at home, while you're in daycare, I'm going to go looking for a Poliwag and we're going to see if we can catch it. So when she got home, I had it set up. So when she got home from daycare, I was like, hey, Junie, I think there's a Poliwag in the basement. And I gave her, like, you know, the Burger King Pokeball. like that they had from back in the day.
Yeah, yeah.
Like the shiny one. So I gave her that. I was like, okay, we got to go here. Take this. We're going to go downstairs and we're going to find this Pokemon. You got to catch it. And so we went downstairs where it was set up, and she went up and it was so cute. She was really enjoyed it. She caught the Poliwag in the Pokeball, and she took it up, and she's been like attached to it ever since. So that was her fun little thing, was getting to catch the Poliwag. But yeah, otherwise I finally finished Black 2.
Oh man.
Oh. So
you're only 11 years behind.
I know. Like that. I know. I've been kind of visiting it a little bit by like every night. Like,
yeah, yeah.
Maybe 15 minutes or so. And so I finally got around to finishing it. And yeah. That was, I think, the last one that I haven't touched was that game.
What did you think of it? Like, I think that's one of a good game. I think that's a good game.
I know. I agree. No, this is like a whole thing, because I've heard a lot about, everyone's like, oh, it's the best. It's the best story, blah, blah, blah. I don't know if it's the best story.
No,
I agree.
Maybe
with
at
that.
The time.
I would say definitely, I don't know. Like, I think Black and White OG is probably a better story, but I feel like Black and White 2 is like a very good sequel.
I agree. My thing is, and I felt this way about both of the Gen 5 games, is that the story is better than most Pokemon games, but it's also fairly average, which, yes, I think says more about Pokemon games having really bad stories than anything. Because I think everyone looked at it and they're like, oh man, it was so good and in and blah, blah, blah. And like the villains actually made some kind of sense. But like, I'm like, you know, this should be standard. Like, this isn't really that good. It's just standard.
This is the equivalent of, this is not the flex that you think it is.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
Right, so that was my opinion, but I did enjoy it. I got to use Electabuzz in the game, which I've never done before.
I know, isn't that cool? Like, it, yeah, I think it's one of the only games where you can like catch Elekid super early.
Right, right. So I had Elekid throughout my whole run, and I evolved all the way up and all the way through the Elite Four. And so now I'm going to take them through the different versions and get a bunch of. This is what I do whenever I finish a game. I get all the ribbons, kind of get them through the gauntlet of all the other games, and then put them in home where they sit forever.
Yeah. I don't know. I kind of like them as like trophies and like memorabilia.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. It's memorabilia. I can look back and be like, here was my team that I play through on this game. And I really enjoy that.
Yeah. I don't blame you.
That's been what I've been doing. Yeah.
I mean, that's a good thing to be doing. I think I think that's better than my Pokemon experience this week. So. Okay, I think we're gonna cut it there, though. We've got some news to talk about, so let's go ahead and cue with that epic music.
Coming to you live from the Lavender Town Radio Tower, this just in.
Welcome to the news. In the news, we've got a few things going on. Detective Pikachu releases this Friday, the game that everybody forgot was happening. There's also now Nintendo Switch Online icons for the game when available. The news writer also put in that Thatch is fleeing the country to avoid covering that. This is somewhat true, because I am going to Japan and I will just not be doing anything. I'm going to take pictures. I'm going to go to Japan. I'm going to take some pictures. It's going to be a great time. Going to go to a couple of the Pokemon centers I haven't been to. Also going to be a great time. Yeah, I haven't been to, we're going to hit it. I learned Osaka's got a Mega Pokemon Center at it. I didn't realize that.
Oh, okay.
So there's a Mega Pokemon Center in Tokyo that I've been to. And that one was, they're pretty cool experiences overall. The good and bad thing about Pokemon Center, or about like Pokemon product right now, is like the sitting cuties. Like, I think in concept they're a great idea, but now that we're up to Gen 5, it is just becoming so much of the product in the stores.
Oh, sure.
And so it's just like, well, that's not exciting for me, right? But I want to go myself, because sometimes there's just stuff that you don't know exists over there. And one of the things that, like, the thing that I found last time is they had these little like blind thing. They weren't boxes, because inside there's like a little 4-inch by 4-inch artwork in it. And there's like a set of 16 that you collect by cracking booster packs, essentially. And last time we ended up buying like 80 of them. So I have a bunch of them that I should start giving out for Puckle giveaways or something. But
There you go.
Because we ended up collecting the whole set. So I've got the 16 that I care about, but now I've got like 50 more that I just don't. Those are the kinds of things I like to look for while I'm there. It's that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
That kind of stuff. And I might like try to go find some other like video game consoles and stuff, like handhelds. Like I might go buy like some cheap Game Boy Advances or something. That way I have like modelable stuff, because
that's nice.
They're not region locked. So go over there and do it. And honestly, most consoles are very easy to like, older consoles are easy to get around the region locks on. Like I think
that's true.
I think Nintendo 64, you literally just have to like cut out a piece of plastic on the N64 because it stops the cartridge from going in all the way. it's literally that easy. I might see, the one thing I think would be cool to own, but I would never play, is the original Pokemon Stadium, like the original Pokemon Stadium.
There's a difference?
Yeah. So, in Japan, there were actually 3 Pokemon Stadium games.
Mm-hmm.
In the US, we only got 2.
And we got the second one as our...
The second one was our first Pokemon Stadium, and then Pokemon Stadium 2 in the US was Pokemon Stadium 3 in Japan.
Interesting. Yeah, I didn't know that.
Yeah, there is an original Pokemon Stadium. It's just like a cool piece to own, I think, and not do anything with, because the game is like it uses almost the exact same graphics as the original Pokemon Stadium, but it doesn't even include all original 151 Pokemon in it. It's only like 60 some, because they essentially invented it. They like it was made to essentially just be a way for like them to host tournaments in Japan on the N64.
Mm-hmm.
So it only had like fully evolved Pokemon for Pokemon battles, essentially.
Oh, I see. Yeah, I'm looking at the Pokemon list here.
Yeah, it's a very weird product to exist.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very weird. But yeah, I digress. That wasn't what we were talking about. I guess that news segment turned into Thatch is going to Japan, and this is what he's going to do.
Yep, not play Detect the Pikachu.
100%.
Meanwhile, a version of SVE packaged with the DLC releases on November 3rd. Additional downloads are required. This is more for parents shopping for the holidays and collectors, obviously. I guess Mario Kart's doing the same thing.
Yeah.
They
did this with, what's it called? With Sword and Shield as well. They didn't do it this... Well, I guess they probably...
Oh, that's true.
This,
they did.
They probably did it around the same time frame. But Crown Tundra came out before this time frame in 2020, because they're just doing it for the holidays, right? It's more just like parents can just buy the game with the DLC at Christmas, and the kids get the whole thing,
right?
And which is fine. I think that's a very reasonable thing to do. The only thing that makes me sad is that if they're doing it, it probably means that this DLC is the final version, so you're not going to get anything additional, which I'm not surprised by, but I'm disappointed by, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like you could just always just do another DLC and slow down your development cycle, Game Freak. I'm just saying, that's all it takes.
I will say lightly that just because we're not getting another wave of DLC does not mean we're necessarily going full bore into a full other game. There's a chance.
I want to believe you. Like, Remember when you and I used to be able to predict, like, you could predict the Pokemon cycle for a while, and then, like, they just started breaking all the rules? I feel like we've settled into a new cycle, where I can now very easily predict, like, on Pokemon Day, we're gonna hear about Black and White something, and we're all gonna collectively sigh, and then maybe it'll be
something like a Legends that's, like, next, less... That's not quite as catapulting us into chaos. Speaking of the Hisuiumons, the next 7-star raid is Grass Hisui Decidueye and should run for the next couple of weekends. So that'll be the 6th and the 8th of October, and then the 13th and the 15th of October. If I remember right, Did they change the hidden ability on a Hisuian?
That's a great question. What
I don't know how that is, because a lot of those Hisuian mons did change their.
Let me look real quick.
Their abilities when they finally made it to a real game.
When they made it to a real,
I thought they kept their same abilities for the most part.
Yes, but a lot of
they just didn't have abilities in what's it called?
Right.
No, but there were a few, like, Arcanine got Rockhead in Gen 8. If you transferred it to home earlier, it hadn't, so...
Yeah,
right.
The hidden ability did change its hidden ability.
Yeah, it's still...
It used to have long reach just the same as normal Decidueye, and now it has Scrappy.
Yeah.
Oh, really? It doesn't have long reach? Interesting. Huh.
Well, it doesn't use... It uses a short bow instead of a long bow, so I suppose it's actually kind of accurate, so...
All right, sure.
Scrappy just makes it probably
probably
better. Like, I don't think we're gonna see competitive Hisuian Decidueye.
Probably not.
Yeah. All right. Well, what's the next thing on the news, Mark or me? Actually, I lied. There's finally a new online tournament announced. Actually, we haven't had one of these in a while. With the Kitakami Prologue, sign up should be open when this podcast releases, which is and the tournament runs from the 6th to the 8th. It is Kitakami Dex Doubles. That's actually kind of exciting. I wish they would do more like just straight Kitakami Dex type stuff, because that's like, if you're going to make me have a Pokedex that I walk into with it half full already, you should just go ahead and let me play with that restricted set of Pokemon somewhere. So I would definitely play in this if I were not going to be on an airplane. So... All right. Well, now it's your turn, Mark. I apologize.
Well, meanwhile, OU has banned Fire Ogerpon. It has started a suspect test for Blood Moon Ursaluna. So there you go. Everything's getting banned.
All I see is nerds don't like change. I shouldn't say that.
No.
I will say Ogerpon Fire kind of, actually that one earned it. Blood Moon Ursaluna, I haven't been following enough to see if that's legitimate. But
yeah, they did make a lot of OP stuff.
Turns out.
Yeah, they made a lot
of Ogerpon is fantastic. Just like those types are great. And then you give it a plus 20% to all of its damage. That's already really ridiculous. And then you give it Zacian's Intrepid Sword when it terastalizes. And that just... Oh, and because of Mold Breaker, it could one-shot Heatran with the fire move.
Yeah, that's fun. I like that.
I like that a lot. I just understand why they threw it away.
Right. Yeah.
It's fine. It's fine.
It's fine. It's you know, okay. Yeah, you know, it's fine. On Pokemon Go, there's a detective Pikachu badge.
Why?
Why not?
From the 5th through the 9th, it adds shiny detective Pikachu and Raichu to the event, and Slowpoke wearing a hat.
Slowpoke's the one star.
I agree.
I cannot tell you how much I want Slowpoke to be plot relevant in Pokemon Detective Pikachu, purely so that it can like witness some murder. It won't, because this is Detective Pikachu. It will be less violent crime, but like it witnesses a murder and it's just kind of chilling in the room, like, oh, it must not have seen anything. Only for when all the other cops leave, Detective Pikachu watches it slowly gasp in horror about 6 hours later.
I like that. That's good.
This one, I see like some of the gameplay and it has me semi hopeful that Detective Pikachu 2 will have better gameplay.
It will have better gameplay.
Yeah, it'll have better gameplay. Well, like, I don't mind like Phoenix Wright. Like, I don't mind those games.
Yeah.
Ace Attorney, right? But, which is what Detective Pikachu is kind of trying to be.
Well, it's trying to be Professor Layton more than anything.
And I just can't do it. You know, I'm watching this app and I'm like, I can't make the color orange. Not because I don't know how, but because I just don't, I'm above that. Right. all right. Mm. So we're going to end on some, TCG news.
Mm.
Pikachu with a gray felt hat is a promo that you can get for purchasing a Van Gogh item from Pokemon Center or PokemonCenter.com. Or at least that was how it was supposed to work, but Pokemon messed up and a bunch of influencers got involved and everybody bought everything immediately and there were no promos left and it's gone because scalpers ruined it for everybody.
You know, and I saw this coming. I don't know, the second they announced this stuff, I'm like, oh man, this is going to get bought up immediately.
Oh my
gosh. They didn't announce really like what it was going to be and...
Mm-hmm.
It was one of those things. I'm like, oh man, it's a limited release thing related with Pokemon. It's just gonna get snatched up really quick.
The degree to which it was snatched up, though, was
it was sick. It was kind of
yeah.
Yeah, you'd think at this point, like, we're beyond the pandemic where all the, like, crazy, like, scalp buying was going on, but it's still going on, and it's just like, I don't know, it's so dumb.
I just...
Pokemon cards.
I am, as someone who is a legitimate fan of Vincent Van Gogh as, like, a historical thing, I'm just real sad that this is how it's this is how it went. And this is, this is so opposite to how I think his whole life was being, like, kind of forgotten and trampled over, and this feels very unfortunate in that vein. So I'm kind of over people at this point.
This was ridiculous. Well, like, thankfully, modern Pokemon cards outside of these promos have kind of crashed. Like, I don't mean this in, like, a horrible way, but, like, when we went to Pittsburgh Regionals a couple weeks ago, I bought a booster box of Paldea Evolved, and they were selling it for $100, which is a pretty good price for Paldea Evolved. So I bought the booster box, and he's like, are you going to pay credit or cash? I'm like, well, credit, because I'm not carrying hundreds of dollars on cash on. I really don't want to have that on me. And so I'm paying for it. He's like, yeah, after credit card fees, I think I made $2 because it's $95 from the distributor. And I'm just like, oh, it sucks to hear that. He's just like, yeah, it's just, you know, it's the game. It turns out Pokemon itself, like modern Pokemon, is just like crashing really hard, except for 151. But that's something else entirely. But modern Pokemon, I'm pretty okay with it based on what was happening like 3 years ago during like Vivid Voltage, where you couldn't even buy an Elite Trainer box because people would just go buy them all and resell Pokemon card set. It was ridiculous.
Right.
It was ridiculous. Now at least you can go buy, I can go buy a box of Paldea Evolve for $100, I guess. Because the value's not there anymore. So I'm kind of hoping, I mean, at least nobody went to McDonald's this time, as far as I could see, and bought a bunch of Happy Meals either.
Yeah, I was worried about that. I saw that came out, and I was just like, oh, man, not again.
Well, this is the second time since the first time when it was real bad, when some people bought, like, insane numbers of Happy Meals.
Oh, yeah, I remember.
Because I think that was 2021 when people bought a ton of Happy Meals.
Yep.
And they do this promotion, like, once a year. So in 2022, it was okay, because I think the internet collectively shamed all those people enough that it's just not happening anymore. Now, in 5 years, it's going to happen again because we'll all have forgotten because we're goldfish.
Yeah, it'll be a new cycle. It'll be fine.
Yeah, it'll be new content creators thinking they're doing something original.
Yep.
Finally, Puckle's Pokey prediction. Besides Ogre...
Sorry, the whiplash got me there.
I know, that's the point. Besides Ogrefon, do you think any of the new or returning Pokemon will show up in the coming weeks for the VGC Top Cuts? Because we are in Regulation E starting next week, and I believe... Peoria is in early October.
We're gonna have at least one person trying to use Blood Moon Ursaline on a Trick Room team, but other than that,
I was gonna say Ogrefon, but I forgot the question said besides
Ogrefon, so probably no.
Monkey Dory, maybe. No,
Monkey Dory could work.
Not Monkey Dory. I think Okidogi will see more play than Monkey Dory.
Monkey Dory is very good in singles, less in doubles. Too frail.
Yeah. Okidogi plays a similar-ish role to Incineroar to some extent, and so
but I think it counters Incineroar
it
more.
It doesn't count. It does counter Intimidate, which I think might see play as a result.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't be surprised if we saw Okidogi. Okidogi. I think somebody will also try with Diplin.
I don't think it'll go well, but
Somebody will try. All right. Well, that is going to be it for our. For our Poke prediction, we are going to go ahead then, guys, and we're going to kick it on over to our Poke quiz, where we're going to quiz your co-host on their insane upon knowledge.
Oh, hi, and welcome to the Poke quiz, the part of the show where we quiz our co-hosts on their insane Pokemon knowledge. I'm Mark from the Dunsparce Gang, here to explain the rules. Our fabulous co-hosts will work as a team to answer 5 Pokemon-themed trivia questions that fans have submitted on the Discord server. Each question is worth 1 point, with Pokedex and multiple answer questions worth more, for a total of 7 points. The hosts can use a free hint at any time. If they get all the answers correct and do not use the hint, they can cash it in for an eighth point.
Welcome to our Poke Quiz. Our first question, after that introduction by the wonderful Mark, as always, is going to be from Farmer Fox. What Pokemon line has the classification the five-star Pokemon?
Ledian.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Which this, I know this. I do not like him.
Yeah, it is correct. With how fast that is correct. Ledian and Ledyba are both them because they have five spots that are not star-shaped on their back, but they are arranged in a star shape.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right, now we're going to ask you this next question. From Dragon Tamer Nick. What are the only two types that do not have a move with a chance to flinch?
Okay, so...
Chance to flinch. Oh, gosh.
Fairy is probably one of them. I know Dragon has Dragon Rush.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to think of any fairy moves that might flinch.
Fairy moves that might flinch. Yeah, I don't know of anything that comes to mind.
Is this our multi question or
no?
Oh, okay.
But it is multiple. Anyways,
there are two. But like, if you get close enough, I'll
I'm just curious. I think
you're on point with fairy though. I can't think of anything.
Yeah, Steel has Iron Head. Uh-huh. I'm trying to think of like the types that just don't have many moves.
What about Ghost? I can't remember what Ghost
Astonish.
Has. Oh, that's right. Yeah.
All of the elemental types have Fang.
Mm-hmm.
The Flying has a bunch of air, like Air Slash, all that.
Yep.
Bug, I think Steamroller can flinch.
Does it?
Yes. Probably. Yes?
I'm going to take your word for it because I don't remember.
Fighting's got a couple. Fake Out for like, Normal has everything.
Yeah, Normal has a bunch. I know that.
At this point, I'm just like trying to figure out what types I haven't eliminated.
Dark
Pulse, Bite.
Dark Pulse, yeah, Bite.
Psychic has Heart Stamp because that's.
I forgot about that. Oh,
yeah, man. The pair of. I know Jirachi has made me remember that Psychic can flinch you. Right.
Oh man.
What types are left? We're should missing. Have been writing this down.
Okay, so fairy is one, right? Do we have to lock that in?
You can, and I'll tell you it's correct. There's another one.
Okay. All right, so we got to figure out the other one. What about ice?
Ice Fang.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, it's one of the fangs.
Poison.
Oh, poison. Yeah. What would poison?
Because poison, I mean, usually it poisons. Every flinch Pokemon that I can think of with poison has stench.
Do you want to try poison then?
Sure.
I can't think of anything. Sure, let's do it.
Poison's correct.
Nice.
It is fairy and poison. Everything poison. Else can flinch.
I was horrified because right as I said, yeah, I'm sure, I thought, oh wait, does cross poison flinch?
No, I don't think it does. Well, it obviously does not. So
apparently.
Really not.
Apparently low kick used to flinch in gens 1 and 2.
I mean rolling kick still flinches, yeah. So I knew that one.
Very weird. All right. So we're gonna move on. You guys are 2 for 2. Your next question is your Pokedex entry question. This one is going to be from Smeargle19. Mm. Its Pokemon Scarlet entry reads, it can perform odd dance steps to influence its foes. Its style of dancing became hugely popular overseas. Who's that Pokemon?
Wait, okay. What?
It can perform odd dance steps to influence its foes. Its style of dancing became hugely popular overseas.
And which
this is from Pokemon
this?
Scarlet.
Scarlet, and it dances. I feel like this is
Spinda
a trick.
Isn't in Scarlet.
No, it's not.
Is it Oricorio? Because its moves became popular overseas. If it was Baile form, it's a Spanish dance.
You're right, but like, I don't know. I feel like there's a few different dancing mons that could be this.
I mean, dancing is not a particularly unique
No, it's not. I just don't know what this would even be. I feel like the fact that it's in Scarlet is almost a trick.
Well, at least it narrows it down to like a reasonable number of Pokemon.
That's true. God, what Pokemon can it? I mean, I'm okay. We have two. We have two chances. You want to go with Oricorio?
I think it could be fun if it was like, yeah, the Bile form, it's popular overseas. But yeah.
You can just do that.
Yeah.
All right.
Oricorio is unfortunately incorrect.
Ah.
Your next entry is going to be from Pokemon Ruby. This Pokemon uses uses the black pearls on its body to amplify its psychic power waves for gaining total control over its foe.
It's grumpy.
When this Pokemon uses its special power, its snorting breath grows labored.
Wait, Grumpig dances? This is what?
Yeah.
I mean, its animations have always been kind of like hoppy, but
I guess, yeah.
Yeah, it dances.
Okay.
It's popular. Well, Grumpig, dance is hugely popular overseas, Mark. Okay.
Okay, I'm glad this weird-looking pig is a dance genius.
You are correct. It is Grumpig, though. That is 3 for 3 here.
Well, okay.
Your next question is your multiple answer question, as always. There are 4 answers here. I only need 3 of them, 1 point for each. What 4 Paldea gym challenges can you re-challenge to get rewards?
Olive Roll is one of them.
You do have to lock them in, but yes, that is correct.
The stupid Simon Says impossible to fail emotional support thing.
Oh,
ESP game is one of them.
That is also one of them. Yeah, that's 2.
The snow slide is one of them.
That is the 3rd one. Yeah. Do you know the 4th one?
Now, what is the last?
I mean, you've got all of them for the points you need. You've got max points.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
There is one more. The last one you're missing there, though, is the Sunflora hide and seek.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, sure.
The olive roll you can do to get yourself some sandwich ingredients and grass-themed tablecloth. Sunflora hide and seek will give, if you get 10 of them, you get a leaf stone. If you get all 20, you get a sunstone. ESP training gives you a number of berries. You can actually get straff berries for a very long streak of ESP training. Additionally, slow slope run. The rewards are horrible, so don't even worry about it, unless you really want Nevermelt ice or an ice stone. And you do get a comet shard, I guess, the first time you do it, but that's about it. All right. So you guys are, 6 for 4. You get one more chance here at another question. This is going to come to you from, the once and future gamer. Which non-legendary, non-mythical, not fully evolved Pokemon has the highest average base stat total? Note by the author, type null is classified as legendary for this, otherwise it would be the highest.
So it has to be able to evolve.
Yeah, not legendary.
Has the highest, basically has the highest base stat total, right?
Yeah. I feel like a good strategy for this is to just look at some like prominent Eviolite users.
Like Chansey's up there. Yeah, Dusclops maybe.
But total, though, I don't know how do they rank. do we want to use our hint?
Sure. I have nothing on this. My brain is empty.
This hint may be somewhat misleading, but this is a monotype normal Pokemon. It is very prominent.
And it's not Chansey because it's misleading.
It's very prominent and competitive.
Okay.
And we'll use Eviolite when you see it.
So it's normal, and it uses Eviolite.
Can it be anything other than Chansey, then?
Yeah, it must be Chansey. Yeah, let's just go with Chansey.
Chansey is unfortunately incorrect.
what is it, then?
It is Porygon 2.
Okay.
Yeah, okay, that makes sense.
Porygon 2. Porygon 2 is the correct answer. Following up Porygon 2, though, I don't think Chansey even makes like the top 5, by the way.
Blame the hint.
There's Scyther, Scyther and Ursaringer tied actually. Next.
Really, Scyther's that high?
Yeah, well, Scyther's got the same base stat total as Scizor.
That I knew. Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, and Kleavor. And then there's also Magmar. Magmar is slightly higher than Electabuzz. And then you've also got Rhydon right behind that.
Okay.
But you walked away with a respectable 6 points.
Yeah.
Very respectable.
That's a respectable 6 points. It will change up the leaderboard. So we do have to note that it will change things. In first, I didn't sort because somebody messed up my sheet. I blame Claude. It messed up again. Somebody messed up my sheet.
This time it was Thatch.
It was not me. In first place, we've got Lydian with 28 points in our race of 40, followed up by Seth Vilo in second with 25. In a three-way tie for third, we've got Shark, Mark, and Dr. Shamu with 20 apiece.
Oh, man.
Right behind that, in sixth place, there's a three-way tie as well. Between Whimsicott, Sigma, and Jushiro, all with 17 points. Behind that is Sublime with 14 in ninth place, and then Claude bringing up the rear with 6. Until then, though, guys, you can check us out next week for another segment of Puckle's Pokey Quiz. We will catch you at the topic now.
Puckle Factory is back. Battle against your fellow Puckleonians with rental teams provided to you by us. Each week will have its own themes to explore. You get to pick which team best suits your wants, which one you think is the best. You have until October 1st at 8 p.m. Eastern Time to sign up. Further information can be found on our Discord at PuckleDiscord.com. Hope to see you there.
Welcome to our topic. Our topic today is another top five, bottom five. Today we're going to do a bug type.
Yeah.
I'm actually surprised it took us this long to get to it, because I think we've only got four types left, and this is one of them.
Mm-hmm.
I'm honestly surprised it took this long to get to the top five bug types.
Well, I'm glad, because I missed out on the grass type, which is my other favorite, and this is, like, for me, bug and grass are, like, top tier, so this is...
Bug is a fun type. I feel like we've got some cool stuff in here. I'm going to go ahead and kick us off with the top five. And I feel like this one's very obvious, because when I think of bug-type Pokemon, I think of this Pokemon specifically, and it's Scizor. I mean, we can make the argument for Scyther, but I feel like Scizor, more so than even like Cleavor or Scyther itself, is just very memorable as a bug-type Pokemon.
A really cool dude.
He's just a really cool... And he got good when Bullet Punch became a move.
Right? Got that technician action. Like, I've used it in competitive.
Scizor is as competitively viable as Tyranitar ever was, and maybe slightly more.
Yeah.
On top of that, the design's real cool, and you could use him in Pokemon Stadium 2 minigames.
Yeah.
A core memory of mine for some reason.
Very important.
Yes. So I nominate Scizor.
I think that's an easy slam dunk.
I think so as well, yes.
I agree.
Yeah, so Scizor. So now we need a bottom, and I would like to nominate Masquerain.
I won't fight you on it. I think there's some I hate more, but it's not.
They're definitely probably worse, right? But I feel like Masquerain, I don't know. I like Surskit. Like, I like Surskit. I think Surskit is a cool idea. I think Water Bug, before Water Bug was cool, had a very interesting way to go. And then instead of being like, oh, let's make something cool out of this, they're just like, but what if it was just another bug flying type?
Yeah, right.
And it's just a disappointment all around. And I like, if they would have made it like,
I see what they were trying to do with it, but it just doesn't work.
Like, Surskit has so much potential, and they ruined it.
Right.
They ruined it. I would have really liked, I was really disappointed. I remember, like, catching a Surskit when Ruby and Sapphire were the new hotness, and being like, oh, yeah, let's make, let's evolve this. It's going to be really cool. Water bug type, it's going to evolve into something really cool. You know, Lotad's in this game. Lotad evolves into something really cool. And then it turned into Masquerain, and I was just like, oh, this is a disappointment.
To me, the funniest bit about that is you going, ah, yes, because Ludicolo exists.
Yeah, right. Clearly. Ludicolo, the coolest Pokemon.
Do you not think Ludicolo is cool?
No. I think he's fine.
I think Ludicolo is one of the most unique Pokemon that have ever existed.
I think it is a wasted type combination.
What?
Yes. I do not like the way it looks. I think it's a great typing. I like what it does in the game, but it's just, I just don't like it.
Shock. I'm shocked, actually. I'm shocked.
I'm not a fan. But we're not talking about that. We're talking about bugs.
Yeah, we are talking about bugs. I'm done. Yeah. I think I've made two very good cases.
I think
all right, Mark, I'll let you just...
just go do your slam dunk. We got this. I know it's coming.
Everybody knows it. Everybody loves it. best, in my opinion, like this is my tied for top Pokemon ever because I just have really good memories of using it. It's got good, great mega, good value in competitive. I've used it in competitive. It's fun. It's got Moxie. We, of course, are talking about our friend Heracross, our best friend.
Heracross is good. I agree with that. Heracross is one of my favorite Pokemon as of late.
I totally, man. And you know what? When I rediscovered...
Gen 2 is just really good. Gen 2 is just very good about making Bug-type Pokemon that mattered in design-wise. Like,
and it's not over-designed either.
No, I like Heracross. I just don't know how far I'd go on, like, yeah, I love Gen 2 designs.
Gen 2 fixed a lot of things.
I think it gets slam dunked on too much, because I think when you look at what Gen 2 offers, I think there's a lot of really good stuff in there. However, they also have my bottom that I'm adding here, which is Pineco, which I'm not a fan of.
I, like, kind of disagree, but I won't fight for it.
I am not a fan of Pineco. It is one of those forgettable mons. And like for me, so like Heracross for me was, I got it from headbutting, you know? So for me, it's just like, okay, wow, I don't want Pineco. Stop falling from these trees.
I think I wanted Fortress more than I wanted Pineco, right? I feel like Pineco is there.
Well, Fortress, yeah. I mean, yes, that's a good example. Like, you know, like the pre-evolution is garbage. What it evolves into is totally fine. I'm not going to argue with you there, but I'm not a Pineco fan. I mean, either way, it shouldn't be a bug.
Yeah, I tried playing Gen 2 again not too long ago, and I was like, oh, I'm going to go get a Heracross. I'm going to play the game with a Heracross, right?
Yeah, totally.
So I went and I got the Heracross, right? Gen 2 move pools are just completely awful.
Oh, yeah, they're awful. They're terrible.
You can catch a Heracross and then get no value out of that Heracross.
I know, yeah.
Like, I'm just like, oh man, I'm gonna do this really cool like fighting bug type, we're gonna do so many cool things, and then one, you forget that most bug type moves don't exist yet,
right?
And it's just like, oh, this is disappointing. I don't think it even gets a fighting type move. I think it gets counter. Oh, it does get reversal in Gen 2 eventually.
Yeah, I was gonna say, I think it gets like two.
It gets counter and reversal in Gen 2. That is what it gets. By level up. I mean, you could teach it Rock Smash, which is not better.
No, it's not.
Which is just not better whatsoever.
Not at all. Yeah.
And I think, I'm looking at it now. There was an event at the New York City Pokemon Center that gave it Seismic Toss, which is actually probably like an okay thing to give it.
Yeah.
Why did we think that was OP Pokemon?
I don't know. The first two gens, they didn't really quite understand how moves worked, I felt like. And so
I think it was because originally the thought of in Gen 1 and Gen 2 of Pokemon battles was that you were literally just punching each other with like tackles and scratches.
Yeah.
I think that is literally what they thought most Pokemon battles should be. And then they realized, oh, maybe we could add some depth to this game by like adding attacks that are typed.
You know, I had that experience as a quick aside. I started playing a little while ago, started playing Red again. Dude, so I realized for that exact reason that having a rock type is just OP.
Yes, no.
Because like everybody uses normal attacks, so I just like put my Geodude in front of everything. It just...
Actually, if you look at like the best teams in Gen 1 for competitive, because that existed.
Yeah.
There's always five Pokemon, or there's five Pokemon that are always the same on like the best teams for Gen 1. And then there's always a rock type that is Golem or Rhydon.
Yeah, I believe it.
Because the whole goal was usually just get Tauros going and make it Hyper Beam.
Mm-hmm.
And then you win the game after you wipe out the rock type. Like, that was the idea. I digress, though.
Yeah.
Lydian, it's your turn.
I do want to bring up, I want to start with the top. One of my personal favorite Pokemon, as is well known, I am an enjoyer of extreme designs, particularly things that are just a little wonky.
Yeah.
And really, what is more in my vein than a 7 foot tall flexing mosquito?
Yes. Yes.
Okay, I was kind of hoping you were going to say this, because this was the next one I was going to bring up, actually.
Yes.
Buzzwole is fantastic top to bottom. You've got a really cool design that, like, it's so well, it animates so well with yes. All of the flexing. When we got to go see its home planet, and it's just giant trees out of flexing people. Uh-huh. It's hysterical. Mechanically, it works really well, too. It's just a brick as long as you're hitting it physically. It's got it's got counterplay. It's got a good type that, like, I guess some other cool Pokemon have used once or twice.
I think it's just like Heracross, Buzzwole, and Faramosa, right? Like, that's it.
Of the three, it is probably the middle best. Like, I don't think Heracross is bad competitively, but when you compare it to Buzzwole and Faramosa, it's just not.
Oh yeah, no, you're not wrong.
Well, one of these things got banned at Ubers.
You're not wrong.
Yeah, like we've got a band in Ubers, and then one of the most OU definers of Gen 7. So
yeah,
AV Buzzwole is so much fun.
I will actually agree with Buzzwole. I think Buzzwole, yes. Honestly, even in like Pokemon Unite, it's really fun.
I forget he's in that.
He's in that, and he's actually really fun because he can actually do like Leech Life and a bunch of other cool stuff.
So what I have always said is out of Gen 7, while the starters are clearly the Pokemon that are most likely to get in, I always wanted Buzzwole. Particularly before Incineroar was in, because I'm like, look, he's a grappler. He's a giant, absurd mosquito man.
It's great. No, that's what he does. He grapples and he does leech life. It's great.
Yeah. No, I totally agree. I love Buzzwole. I think it's just so absurd and awesome and just like ridiculous. It's to me, it's like top tier Pokemon.
I think most of the Ultra Beasts are just done very well.
I agree. They're so good.
They went off the design trail on purpose and they did it very well. Like, I think the worst one is honestly Naganadil.
I think it's fine. It's just weird because I don't feel like I know its core vibe.
I agree with that.
So, bottom Pokemon. I love new Pokemon, but some of them are indefensible. Spidops is one of the worst things I've ever seen.
Yeah.
I don't disagree with this, actually. Man, this is going to be a fast one today, I feel like.
We don't
know. No, because I've got a lot of Pokemon on that we got two spots, so...
I feel like it's very easy just to wipe this out real quick. But like Spidos is like Tarantula is fine.
Fine. Like I don't love it. I don't hate it. It's fine.
It's okay. Yeah.
I don't know how they got to Spidos from Tarantula. Like I just don't know how.
I don't honestly like either of them, but I totally understand.
I just wholeheartedly agree.
It's just bad.
It is. No, it is. It is bad.
Yeah.
So do we want to make this all just bug fighting types and go Slitherwing? Is it just Slitherwing? Is it just Slitherwing?
And it's Slitherwing.
Oh, that's great.
It's just Slitherwing. I feel like we don't have to, but like Slitherwing is kind of cute. But okay. So for top, I'm gonna do a very Thatch move.
Uh huh.
Okay. Okay.
And I'm going to propose Yanmega. I think it's cool.
Yanmega. Okay.
Cool. I don't know. I just have good memories with it.
I think he's fine. Not top five.
Yeah, I like it. I think it got screwed over because it's like it's one of those where in the Pokédex entries it talks about like being able to fly on its back, but you can't use fly with it.
Oh, that's true.
Which is kind of dumb. But I do like it, and it gets the speed boost stuff. So that's fun.
The speed boost stuff and compound eyes, actually. It gets compound
eyes.
Oh,
it does, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Because of a combination of really and tinted lens as well, because of that and PTU fixing everything by giving it mountable, it is great in that, but it's just like it's a fine Pokemon.
I like it conceptually.
I mean we don't have to do it.
I think there are better bugs. But bug is a great type and an even better shape. And I think there's
an even better shape.
there are some better bug-shaped Pokemon.
There probably are some better bug-shaped Pokemon. Okay, so then for the bottom, Wormadam. Like, anybody actually care? Should we just say Burmy line?
Like, yes. All of them can share this. Them.
Yeah, I agree.
Burmy family. Like, I just...
Just burn them all.
Burn them all.
I was doing a Gen 6 Nuzlocke.
Okay.
I feel like one thing that a lot of people always forget about Gen 6 is Gen 6 has one of the largest like regional Pokedexes.
It does.
So one of the early route Pokemon is Burmy.
Oh, yeah.
And so I was doing a Nuzlocke and Burmy was like my route capture.
That sucks.
It does because all it had was Protect.
Oh no.
Awful. Oh my gosh, is it terrible. And so it was just an awful experience, and I never want to wish a Burmy on anyone ever again.
Yeah, I feel like they keep doing the bagworm thing. Like, there's multiple bagworm Pokemon that they've tried, and they just like, I'm just like, why? Is this a thing? And Wyrmin, like, that whole line, like, is another one that they, like, had, like, multiple versions of for no reason. Like, nobody likes that. Like, why'd you waste that on that Pokemon?
I thought it was, like, an interesting idea. Like, I think Wyrmidam Ground is, like, an interesting idea. But the problem is, it's just not good.
It doesn't have the stats to make it usable or interesting, so the design gets wasted in a lot of ways. There need to be weak Pokemon, and there need to be weak Pokemon with gimmicks. But this thing, like, do you know how long it took before I found out there are stat differences between Wyrmidam forms?
Are there?
Yeah.
I didn't know that. Okay.
They probably should have been even further exaggerated so that even on a weak Pokemon, they'd be obvious. But
right.
But no.
All right. So I'm done. I will let you go, Mark.
Okay. So my top is... And I like this one for a lot of reasons because I use it during the playthrough for this gen it's from. And I also had a last year's, when we had our Puckle, draft league, I had this wonderful match. If you really care to look it up, it's in our files, but we had this like meme match with Shamu, and this guy won the day for me. It was a 0-0 win, by the way. He killed himself at the last attack, but he also won the game. But this is Galvantula.
Yeah, that's a good choice, actually, but continue.
Yeah, so Galvantula is one of my favorites. It's like Heracross, where I feel like it's not over-designed, but it's like it's such a perfect bug. It's a big, friendly-looking spider. I like it. It's fuzzy, and, you know, just aesthetically, it's pleasing. But then it's good. It's got, you know, it's got compound eyes, which helps it with its thunder. And yeah, like in that, just for me, in that meme match was just so insane with Shamu that like to win with that thing, like, yeah, it was perfect. So for me, like I always will have a soft spot in my heart for really just the whole line, but Galvantula specifically.
I don't disagree. Galvantula was one of like the first, like, I don't know. It was really cool. It was actually a monster in Gen 6 OU. Because there weren't a lot of sticky web users, and it was...
Oh, yeah. Sticky web is so nice.
It was the best sticky web user.
Yeah, sticky web is so good. I don't know. It competitively, it's nice. It's just fun with playthroughs. I don't know.
It's got a fun gimmick in Thunder and Compoundized Thunder that isn't overstated either. Like, it's just, like, a fun thing you can do with it.
Right.
It's well spread without having, like, an oppressive BST. Like, it's just a good Pokemon.
It's a cool typing, too. Like... Electric bug. They haven't repeated that, right? Like,
yeah, they have.
Oh, Vikavolt. Okay, but Galvantula did it first and better.
I agree. It's faster.
The only thing I could say for Vikavolt is that it's a railgun, and that's kind of cool. All right, you got a bottom. I can see several bottoms, but I would love to hear yours.
Burmy was gonna be mine, so let me think about this because there's a few that I'm just like, I don't know.
Sorry, Murray. I've got one I hate. I've got one that's going down there.
You know, trying to think, like, because the rest of these, like, I'm trying to think, like, do I really hate them that much? You know what? You know what? One is stupid. You know what one I really dislike, and I have it, and I will never think about it ever again, is Male Combi. Fine. But you know what? I might still stand. I think it's stupid. I don't like it.
It's dumb that they did that to Combi, and especially with the male to female rate.
It is. So that's the whole thing. It's the whole thing, right?
That's the gimmick. It's part of, like, I don't know. Sometimes I have moments where I'm lucid and I go, oh, yes, this game is also about just collecting and not about competitive capabilities. And this is definitely the gimmick. I think it was worse when it was introduced in Gen 4 because the only way to run into Combi was to do the honey trees.
Oh, yeah.
And you have to hope that you get the female when you do that. But Vespiquen was actually on my original Gen 4 team, like, way back in the day.
Well, Vespiquen is totally fine. I don't think there's any issue with that. It's just, like, for me, like, Male Combi, like, why would you do that? That's just, I don't know.
The same thing with Salandit, right?
That's true. But I don't think, for me, like, Combi, the way it looked, like, that design, it just, in general, I'm not a fan of the design because it looks ridiculous. I get it. It's fine. Like, it's totally in, you know, in character for that type of Pokemon. But I'm not a fan of it. And the fact that it's the male and it can't evolve, it's just kind of like, okay.
I'm going to veto it only because it feels like a cop out worst.
Hey, you know what? That's fine. We still got four and four on these, so.
Yeah, no, we're doing pretty well right now, actually.
We're doing pretty decent, yeah.
All right, Lydian, you may take us home right now, which is very possible.
But I am going to propose the bottom one first.
Okay.
Okay.
I hate Shelmet. It's not a steel type, but give something else the steel type. That would have been an easy way to at least make it interesting, being like the only Pokemon to lose steel.
Yeah.
It's making a kissy face at me, which immediately inspires violence. Its colors, I don't like Excelgor much. And this thing just doesn't make sense. It looks like a lamp. Why does it look like a lamp? Why is the lamp trying to kiss me? What is wrong with this snail?
I don't know about it being a lamp.
Then it doesn't. Then, well, I know it's a helmet, but it looks more like an oil lamp.
I agree with you on pretty much everything you just said. I don't know why it's not steel type. That would have been really cool if it was steel type.
Yeah.
Then it could have at least used like Eviolite and been like a low tier interesting thing in like a Little Cup or something. But no, it's just bad and I hate it.
You know what? I'm okay with this. Yeah, I'm fine with this.
Actually, yeah, let's slap Shelmet down there. I
will say, honestly, that whole group of four, I don't like any of them.
I like Excavalier enough.
Excavalier's okay.
I think Excavalier and Excelgor are both okay.
I don't like Excelgor at all.
No. I don't like how Bagworm... It's yet another Bagworm, but this one comes from...
A snail?
A snail? Like, it doesn't... Yeah, it doesn't make coach for me.
Yeah. Someone loves Bagworms, and it's dumb.
I don't know. They definitely just tried to... That one, I don't know, I feel bad because it's like the one time Gen 5 tried to be original. It just didn't go. It just didn't land.
Yeah. It just sucks because there's a lot of really good bugs in Gen 5.
I do agree with you. Okay, Lydian, what's your favorite? What's your favorite you're going to propose here?
I mean, I did say it. It is Slitherwing.
Oh, I don't want to. Oh, man.
So you take Volcarona, which is already objectively a very good bug type.
Yeah.
And you add the coolest thing known to man, dinosaurs. I don't know how you're going to get better. I'm just saying.
I mean, so this is the question for me is it better than Volcarona? And
it is not in my mind.
And to me is no. Yeah.
I do agree with that.
No, I don't disagree that I like it. I think it's good.
I knew this was going to be the hardest sell.
This one is probably,
but it's not bad.
It's not top five for me, but it might be top 15, right? Like,
for me, it's like, well, I always really like Volcarona, like that was up there. And then they're like, but what if it was a dinosaur? And was like, yes, please, 100%. Yes, thank you.
Yeah. No, I get it. I get it.
I like how it has, it's cool both standing up and going down. And like the best of the Paradox Mons, it's an interesting combination of ideas, this being somewhere between Larvesta and Volcarona.
Uh-huh.
Which to me makes it far and away one of the best paradoxes, and like I said, I like extreme designs, so mm-hmm. Midpoint moth that is you know, a dinosaur, I'm gonna be interested.
All right, well, I'm gonna put that one as a maybe because I'm sitting here going, yeah, like, I don't really know what I'm gonna do. I do have a suggestion, but it's really, I feel bad saying it, but like I do like it just because of like the importance it's had to the Pokemon franchise, and that's Butterfree. I like, it's okay. It's not a good Pokemon, right? Like competitively whatsoever. But I feel like a lot of us growing up were just like, Butterfree, this is a bug type.
Nah, I was a Beedrill guy.
And
I mean, Mega Beedrill is pretty sweet.
It is. I love Beedrill. Like, it's such a, I don't know.
Mega Beedrill might be another thing to consider for the top slot, honestly.
I agree, actually.
We have never put a Mega in the top slot.
Should we do it?
Honestly, okay, yeah, we could just be like, yeah, we're going rogue and it's Beedrill. Like,
yeah.
Mega Beedrill is actually pretty solid. It, like, of the Pokemon, when Mega Evolution, like, disappeared, that missed out the most, it is Beedrill.
It's Beedrill, yeah. Followed by, like, I don't know, maybe Mawile lost a lot of...
Yeah, sure.
I don't know.
Mawile, Lopunny, Beedrill. Yeah, those went from cool, Kangaskhan is just bad again.
Yeah.
You know what? Mega Beedrill, though, I think is the biggest glow-up any Pokemon's ever had.
I agree. Because Beedrill by itself, like, I remember I loved it in the original games, but then it was like, honestly, it's trash. And then, like, Mega Beedrill is actually good. And it looks awesome.
We have a full list, so I think we could do a thing where we try to do one round of honorable mentions trying to upset anything on the list.
Okay.
In all honesty, I'm gonna forego the top five because honestly this is a perfect top five.
Yeah, I think it's great.
But bottom five, I will throw out the idea. I don't know who would replace, maybe Masquerain. But with the idea of like Volbeat and Lumise.
Ooh, yeah. Those yeah.
They're weak. I just don't think they're
Are they bottom
like, I'm
five
okay.
Week?
Yeah, like I feel when I saw them again, I smiled. You know, I feel like for a true bottom five, I'd have to either sigh or feel nothing, you know?
No, I agree with that, actually. When I was playing through Teal Mask and I saw them, I was like, oh, it's nice to see you guys are here. It's nice to see they didn't forget you existed. I appreciate you.
Yeah.
Honestly, one of my biggest memories of Volbeat, and this is before Volbeat even came out, I started following like Pokemon news pretty heavily in between Ruby Sapphire Gen 3 and Gen 4. And one of the big things that happened was they revealed like Krikatot.
And it's like, ah, yes, the pre-evolution to go between these two.
The pre-evolution that splits into Lumise and Volbeat. And then obviously not. That's a disappointment. I mean, we did get Doodly-Whoop. But it's not the same. Not the same. But yeah, okay, I'm done. Mark, do you want to try to upset any of these or?
Yeah, I don't know if I can upset the top five. I do just want to have a quick shout out to my boy Sleeve. I hope he's listening. I hope you're doing well, Sleeve. But I do really like Mega Pinsir. I don't think that's going to make the top five for me, but I do like it. And shout out to him.
Mega Pinsir is good, but I feel like Mega Beedrill is just so much better.
I agree. Now as for bottom, oh man. Yeah, because I was going to mention, the other ones I was gonna mention would be like Volbeat as well. But for one that doesn't really do anything for me is Armaldo.
I think it's fine. It's a fossil. It's doing its thing.
Like, I don't disagree with that. And what's funny is I like it before it evolves. I just don't really like Armaldo. Armaldo, when I see it evolve, I'm like, you were just so ugly. I do not like you. You were just like, why are you a thing?
You know how long it took me to realize his eyes were on the side of his head growing up?
Oh, yeah.
I always thought it was like the two red spots. I'm like, oh, those are his eyes.
I mean, really, for me, the only one we didn't touch in the top five that is my like top tier, and we kind of touched on it, would be Volcarona.
Yeah, it got five. It got top five in Fire, so I really just don't want to put it in top five here.
Yeah, and you know, that's great. It is top five in Fire, too. I think that's fine. I just got done. It was on my team for Black 2. Yeah, because I went through the effort of getting it at like level 30, like doing that whole thing. And then it was on my team ever since. So I don't know. It's just one of my favorites. It's like a kind of legendary in the way that they released it. So I think that's pretty fun.
All right. I don't have anything because this is basically my top five sans Slitherwing. So like I prepped mine. Like, yeah, I'll have to. No, this is basically it. Bottom five, I would just like to casually dunk on Beautifly. One of really? The most it's unnecessary. It's an early game bug that at least Duckstox tried to do something different. It's just boring.
So if you look at what Gen 3 was supposed to be, it makes more sense, right? Because Gen 3, they did initially plan it out to be 200 new Pokemon. They did plan for it to be originally a black and white situation. Which honestly, if they would have done, I think Pokemon would have failed. But that's why a majority of the Hoenn decks is just brand new Hoenn Pokemon. And then they like sprinkled, I think it's something like 120, 130 some Pokemon of the 200 are Gen 3 Pokemon. Then they sprinkle in they fill in the rest with old Pokemon. That's because, development was getting so late that they couldn't finish making all of the new Pokemon.
Mm-hmm.
And so that they sprinkled in the old ones. So Beautifly wasn't supposed to be like living alongside Butterfree.
Yeah, no, I get it.
But now it does. And so I think it's just an unfortunate mistake of just like things not going exactly. I mean, it goes along with Masquerain. I think Masquerain is a problem for the same reason as Beautifly. I just think Masquerain is just worse at it.
It's too many butterflies.
Everything they've tried to do with Beautifly to differentiate it just hasn't stuck for me. Like, it's supposed to be vicious.
Is it?
Yes, it has multiple Dex entries about it being like psycho and cruel. But do you know what? They did the same thing with a different split evolution from that gen. And Gorbis did it better. I mean,
Gorbis did do it better, though.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I don't disagree. I think it is totally unnecessary, but I also, it is sort of a low point in what I think is probably the best gen, which is for Pokemon in general, which is 3. Yeah, I don't know if it necessarily supplants anybody on the bottom 5.
All right, well then, that's our list then. This was one of the most agreeable lists I think we've ever had.
Nice.
In our top 5, we've got Scizor, Heracross, Buzzwole, Galvantula, and Mega Beedrill. In our bottom 5, we've got Masquerain, Pineco, Spidops, Burmy, and Friends.
And Friends.
Yeah, I mean, what else are you going to say? So it's, yeah, that's the list. Let us know, of course, in the mailbag next week, what are your top and bottom Bug-type Pokemon and why? We'd love to hear from you. I just want to know how people can pick anything different.
Yeah, right.
On that note, though, guys... send them in to PokoPodcast@gmail.com, and we're going to kick it on over to our Pokemon of the episode. We'll catch you on the flip-flop.
Poke of the episode.
Welcome to our Pokemon of the episode. Our Pokemon of the episode this week is National Dex number 994, Iron Moth, the Paradox Pokemon.
It's Pokemon Violet Pokedex entry reads... No records exist of this Pokemon of this species being caught. Data is lacking, but the Pokemon's traits match up with an object described in an old book.
Yay.
Iron Moth is bug-shaped, so we thought it'd be appropriate to be the Pokemon of the episode this week.
Mm-hmm.
Iron Moth is a paradox Pokemon, so it means it's generally pretty okay. It's got 80 HP, 70 attack, 60 defense, 140 special attack, 110 special defense, and 110 speed. It is a fire poison type, so it's just slightly better Salandit. I mean, I don't know how to tell. It also gets booster energy, usage.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, because it's a paradox Pokemon, it gets Quark Drive as the ability. So one day there's going to be if Tapu Koko ever comes back, so help us God. If paradox Pokemon and Tapu Koko get to exist.
It's all right. Electric Surge will be the hidden ability for our Caludon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sure it will be. Yep. Honestly, if that happened, I would not be
surprised. I wouldn't be surprised, but I would be so smug.
I wouldn't be surprised if it happened. But yes, we do get Iron Moth. I mean, the move pool is fantastic. Honestly, Fire Poison is a weird but okay typing.
Mm-hmm.
You get Quad Resist against Fairy, which not a lot of things can say. But it is, oh my gosh, it's got 8 resistances. Oh my gosh. Fighting, poison, bug, steel, fire, grass, ice, and fairy all half damage. But it is weak to a couple very common types.
Yeah.
Water and ground and rock, especially. Less
and
so psychic.
And psychic, yeah.
But oh yeah, and psychic. Yeah.
It's, yeah, unfortunate. But yeah, it's a good Pokemon. We do have a team to go along with it today. This is for OU, I believe.
Yep.
And so I'm just going to go ahead and grab these first two. We've got the Iron Moth holding a booster energy so it can get a boost to its, I believe, looking here, special attack. No, it's a speed, actually. Yeah, based on the spread. It's a ghost type. It's got 124 defense, 132 special attack, and 252 speed. That spread is important just so you can make sure you get the speed boost off the booster energy. Timid nature, fiery dance, sludge wave, substitute, and terra blast. The terra type is ghost, which is just something to always have. Like, good ghost coverage is always nice, and you don't get faked out, and a bunch of other nonsense doesn't happen to you.
I was going to say to avoid Ursaluna that I remembered. No, it has better Scrappy.
Yeah. Yep. The next up is one of my favorite Pokemon from Gen 9 and one of Linian's least favorite, Toadscruel, holding Focus Sash. It has its awful ability, Mycelium Might, because we can't have a Pokemon with base 100 speed click and spore. It is also got a Ghost Terra type, max special attack and max speed over here. Timid nature, so you're going vroom vroom. You've got your Leaf Storm, you've got Spikes, you've got Rapid Spin. And you've also got Spore, because Ooh. Yeah, Mycelium might. I love that as their answer to, well, we can't have a Pokemon with base 100 speed having Spore.
Yeah.
All right. Well, somebody take the next two. I don't care who it is.
I can. Okay. We'll do Kamo-o. We got that throat spray he's holding with Bulletproof, of course. Terror type is normal. 252 special attack for special defense. 252 speed. That timid nature. And of course, we have Boom Burst, Clinger Soul, Clinging Scales, and Flamethrower to just, you know,
coverage.
Be loud.
Yeah, you click Clinger Souls, and then you click whichever attack kills it deadest.
Yep. Right.
It does its thing, and it's good, and we all love it. Next, we have King Gambit with Black Glasses, Supreme Overlord, of course, with Dark Terror type, 252 attack for defense, 252 speed. With that adamant nature, Sword Dance, Kowtow Cleave, Sucker Punch, and Iron Head, because, I mean, that's just kind of what it does.
I wish it looked better. I don't know.
I know. So, anyways.
It's supposed to look like, you know, a daimyo sitting on its throne, but I always think of it just like some, like, weird guy in a sauna.
Yeah, I agree with that, actually.
He's kind of sitting on a brick.
Yeah, I'm not a fan. But do you know what I am a fan of? I can't think of this book. Azumarill, rather. Wow. Azumarill here is holding a citrus berry. I was looking at it and I'm like, what are you?
What is this thing?
It's holding a citrus berry with the ability Huge Power. It's got 252 speed, 252 attack, which to me sounds wrong, but who am I to argue? 4 HP, Jolly Nature, Belly Drum, Play Rough, Aqua Jet, Encore. Other than Encore, that's just a very standard Azumarill. You hit your belly, then you Aqua Jet.
Right.
I have not seen... why has it got Encore? I guess maybe it's for, like...
Why has it got Speed Investment?
Gambit? I don't know.
Must be. Then lastly, we have Thunderous Therian with choice specs of Volt Absorb, of course, as its ability with 252 special attack, 4 special defense, and 252 speed, timid nature, running Volt Switch, Terra Blast, Thunderbolt, and Grass Knot with a Terra Flying. You click the attack move.
That is...
This isn't a difficult team, okay? Like
This team is literally hyper offense. Like, it's just, we put a bunch of setup mons on a team together, and it works.
Like, hyper offense is one of those things where, yes, objectively, there is some strategy to play. But breaking it down, there's not a lot to go over.
Yeah, yes. All right. Well, this is the team. We're going to put it on the Discord server for you. You can take a look at it. But until next time, we're going to kick it on over to that mailbag, guys. And you can, you can hear what your friends had to say. So let's kick it on over to that.
Send in your emails.
Welcome to the mailbag. The mailbag's the part of the show where you can email us at pucklepodcast@gmail.com and let us know what you think of the questions we typically ask. But before we get to the question we asked you last week, I want to remind you that if you send an email and you spark a good amount of discussion, or if we just really like your email, we will give you the green Taurus badge on the server, which honestly is just changing your name green on the Discord server. So please send them in. Get that little bump to your ego. It's sponsored, of course, by the fictional energy drink Green Taurus, the energy drink that gives you hooves.
Hooves, I think.
Yeah. And we're gonna go ahead and give these emails a read. Last week we asked you guys what you thought about Mega Evolution in the past, and if you like it now, or if you wanted to come back. So we're going to jump right on into it. Our first email this week is going to be from The Real EV, and this is mine. Hey, what is new, Puckle Crew? It's your somebody's third favorite Eeveelution here, The Real EV.
Aw.
Highly enjoyed last week's episode on Mega Evolution and mechanics. Personally speaking, I would love to see Megas come back in some shape or form. I think Jushiro touched on it during last week's conversation. The Megas felt like it had a real impact, like they had. It could be because of the year I grew up in with Dragon Ball Z, Digimon, and various other animes, though. When you Mega Evolved your Pokemon for the first time, it just felt so dynamic. I haven't felt that with Dynamax, and sadly, Terrestrialization, even though I think Terrestrialization is a really cool mechanic. The whole time you all were talking about, all I could think about is the terrestrialized version of beloved Mega Evolutions would probably be way too broken and would happen to look sick.
Yeah.
That being said, I know that Pokemon probably would never give that big of an arsenal to play against. There was also something I wanted to touch on from two podcasts back, the Illustrator Contest. I'm throwing my hat into the ring. I'm not the best artist, but we all know, if you're on the Discord, I love Pokemon art.
It's true.
And I'm going to go off Thatch's idea. By now, you've probably seen me flood the Pokemon art on updates with what I'm doing, and I probably shouldn't be, but hey, it's good to get the encouragement.
Honestly, I'm glad, I'm really glad that you posted in there.
Yeah.
It's nice to see all this stuff.
Yeah, I knew about this, but only because of Facebook, because he and I are Facebook friends.
Oh, okay.
Well, guys, this email's probably dragging on a bit long. I want to say thank you to everyone in the community for giving me a little bit of courage to do this, and I really appreciate it. Later, Puckle People, the real Eevee. Well, thank you for that. I've seen, like, the initial sketch, but I didn't realize he was posting in Pokemon art.
Oh, really?
Oh, wow, it's colored now. That's way cooler. It's way cooler. That's awesome.
I like it. I like people posting that channel in general, so
yeah.
I always encourage it.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you for that, Eevee. Next one is going to be from the Aussie Crocodile, and I believe you got this one, Mark.
All right. G'day, Puckle Crew. To this day, I am yet to wield the power of Mega Evolution, as I missed out on all the games that use the mechanic. That's sad. I must admit, I feel that there is a big hole in my Pokemon journey as a result, so I would love to if Megas were brought back to Gen 10 or through in a nice little remake. I do feel as though I got a little taste of Megas throwing the Paradox Mons. For example, if Amoongus got a Mega Evolution, I would expect to see a Brute Bonnet-like creature erupt in my screen. Yeah, that's fair. Partatos. Huh. Never saw it written like that.
Partatos.
Maybe it's an Australian thing. I don't know. When we saw Ash battle his way to become the world champ, I did have a little hope that he would get all the gimmicks returned in some way or another in the Gen 9 games. Who knows? Maybe with Blueberry Academy being a battle-oriented place, you might see something like that. Dreams are free, I suppose. Blueberry director gives off a mad collector vibe. I could see him wanting to slice of the Mega Pie. Speaking of dreams being free, personally, I would love to see a Snorlax Mega. Give the bloke a six pack or a set of Pharaoh wings. I reckon that would go down with a treat. cheers, the Aussie Crocodile.
I know he means abs, but I just imagine it's like Mega. It just gets a case of beer.
That I agree with that. That'd be great.
No, I feel like Gigantamax Snorlax was the closest thing to a Mega we'll ever see.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
And I don't disagree with Gigantamax Snorlax, honestly. I'm very okay with it.
It's one of the better ones, yeah.
It is.
Yeah. Oh, of the Gigantamaxes, for sure. There's like three good ones.
Right.
Yep. It's like Cinderace, Snorlax, and
Kingler. Kingler forever.
Yeah, Kingler.
Yeah.
I think Kingler's pretty good. The only reason I like Kinglers is because I'm like, yeah, this is what Mega Kingler would look like.
I guess I don't hate Alcremies. It's fine.
Yeah, it's okay.
I think G-Max was just like, I don't know. It feels so flat.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Mechanic wise, I don't know. Like, the story of Gen 8 is like, you tried. Like, that's how I feel about Gen 8.
No, the story of Gen 8 is you want us to think that you tried.
Yeah.
Ooh, shots fired. Yeah, Gen 8 just feel, the only thing that I think is a banger from Gen 8 are the Pokemon designs.
Yes. I
mostly agree.
I think the Gen 8 Pokemon designs were bangers.
Mostly agree.
I can't think of too many that are terrible. Outside of Chewtle.
Yeah, Chewtle, Sobble.
Sobble's fine.
Eh.
My thing is, I've always, and I've claimed this pretty much since we've gotten into Gen 9. Gen 9 is frustrating because it's a very good game with horrific, that runs horribly, indefensibly bad.
You're absolutely correct.
Yes.
Gen 9 is, to me, it's the you tried game. I would love to spend more time in it, but it's hard to when it runs so poorly.
I agree.
On the other hand, Gen 8, it's a flawed product, to bottom.
Yeah. Yep.
I agree with that. Yeah. Gen 9 is very good gameplay wise. I just like the game is very good. If it ran perfectly, man, would that be a good game?
You know, I have other issues with it, but I mostly agree. I do know that, like, actually, Linian, when you came to visit visit me in person, you asked me, like, when we were playing, you're like, how would you rate this game? And I remember I couldn't answer you. And that was kind of, that's kind of where I'm at with it. I'm like, there's so many good parts to it. It's great. But then there's also the parts I'm like, yeah, this is really horrendous.
What's like a horrendous part for you?
Well, the graphics. I'm really not a huge...
I mean, I don't disagree with you there.
So the one, I don't think it's horrendous, but I'm really not a fan of the sandwiches.
Yeah.
There's so much that focuses on the sandwiches in the game itself that the fact that I don't really like them just makes it so there's a whole part of the game that I just don't really like engaging with unless I have to.
I do hate that the sandwiches are like kind of your shiny hunting method now.
It is.
I'm not a big fan of that. I don't know. Like, I keep thinking of like, what does Thatch like as a shiny hunting method? Like, what is Thatch's ideal version of a shiny hunting method? And I look at the past and I'm like, well, PokéRadar was kind of hard. So maybe that's not it. And then I look at Gen 7 and SOS battles were too easy / annoying.
Uh-huh.
So that's garbage. And what I always circle back to is just DexNav.
Yeah.
Like DexNav is my favorite shiny hunting method of all time. As much as I didn't want a Gen 3 remake, I think they did a good job of games, making games.
Yeah. Well, I feel like we should probably move to the Mega Evolution email, our last one here from Nico.
Yes.
Happy spooky month, Puckle Crew.
Yeah.
Nico here, happy to talk about, something spooky. He did the O thing? That's right, it's Mega Evolution. Seriously, though, those Mega Pokedex entries are pretty horrifying. Yeah. Before X and Y was released, I hated the idea of Mega Evolution. I guess I was just a defiant person, so I had to play the game to come around to it. Now that the attack mechanic has been going for so long, the idea of Megas someday returning has me more hyped than ever. And yes, Megas are coming back. That's right, I too am a believer. It's okay, you're wrong.
I'm not a believer. I am not. I wanted to come back, but...
They're not coming back until Kalos remakes, okay?
You're absolutely correct, Lydian.
But they never left, guys. They're in Pokemon Go.
It's all right. That'll be gone in a couple years at this rate.
Yeah. Like Pokemon, the fact they're in Pokemon Go, Pokemon Unite's using them now.
Yeah, they have them Unite.
They were in Pokemon Mystery Dungeon DX. It's just so frustrating to see them like everywhere but the main games now.
Yeah.
To continue the email. Between game remakes and Legends games, we're certainly revisiting Kalos. I know there's a debate about if remakes should keep releasing. There is?
I have heard some discourse about this because BDSP put a bad taste in a lot of people's mouths.
Yeah, I think as long as Game Freak's one of them, it's fine. That's the thing.
Yeah.
I don't think that Game Freak will be... I think they're going to keep going the third-party developer route, but I don't know. They really need to start leaning on additional studios, I think.
Or just, hire more people.
Yes. I mean, it's the same answer, but you're correct, yes.
Now that the mechanic... Oh, blah, 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 blah. Anyway, my uncle works at Nintendo, told me they'll keep making them. Either way, it won't be long before Kalos returns, right after Unova. Mega Evolution will be back. It's inevitable. Considering how much Pokemon seems to love Mega Evolution in TCGO, Unite, and Pogo, rather, in Unite, I suspect the return of Megas will be a huge blowout. Think about it. Every generation since 6 being represented? Nope. That could really breathe some real vitality and freshness into the gimmick. On top of that, it would be amazing to see how Megas are handled in a Legends game.
I actually am kind of looking forward to, Legends Kalos.
Oh, that'll be great, because it'll be a war.
Yeah, I know. Wouldn't it be cool?
You start the game. Your city is under a bombardment. Try and survive.
You have to that's how they teach you how to tuck and roll.
Yeah. It's like, here, you wake up, you're in the trench.
I think the Arceus phone is very cool.
I like it.
I assume we're going to keep playing, normal humans who from the future who get sent back to this. And I just once want you to run into someone else, another PC from Legends Arceus, who's just like, oh, I know what's going on. Yeah, I've been there. All right, have a seat. We're going to talk about this. With all that said, I've got a little question for today's panel. What new, after Gen 6, Pokemon would you want to see Mega Evolve? Perhaps a weak or forgettable Pokemon, or just something you think would be cool. For me, the answer is Flamigo. I want a Mega Stone to untie the knot on its neck and see what horrors erupt from its body.
That's interesting. Things that I, two Pokemon that come to mind that I think would have cool Megas, or you could have cool Megas with, one is Phalanx. I think Mega Phalanx would be super interesting.
Yeah.
Trebuchet shoots Phalanx.
Honestly, I honestly love the animations of Phalanx. that they have. And I think it's just a cool Pokemon. And then also like Stonjourner, I think would be really interesting to see Mega Stonjourner, yeah, where it's just like, it's just the rest of them to form Stonehenge or something. I don't know. Those are the two that directly, like, Pokemon that I think could use a Mega in my mind. I feel like their designs are there, but they're just not great enough yet.
Yeah.
I want to see Mega Bramblegast.
No, nobody wants that.
It could be cool. It's just kind of crippled by having weird stats. And until this DLC, it didn't have a good ghost move at all.
Yeah, yeah.
Now it's got Poltergeist.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
I think you could do a lot with it that could be really fun. If nothing else, give it a cowboy hat made out of thorns.
Ooh, yeah, there you go.
Okay, I like that design. I'm into it. That you save Bramblegast by giving it a cowboy hat.
Yeah, I like that too.
You've redeemed it.
Alternatively, give it a violin and let it sell its soul.
What about you, Mark? Is there anything that you can think of, like, post-Gen 6?
I don't know. How about Spidops? Let's have Spidops get a Mega.
Oh, stop it.
Yeah.
Honestly, like, this doesn't answer the question. I think it'd be really cool if a lot of the G-Max forms just got turned into Megas.
I mean, that's basically what they've done in pretty much every, like, ROM hack or whatever.
Yeah, that's what they should do, because, like, G-Max Butterfree is a cool design, and I think Butterfree deserves a Mega to go along with Beedrill.
Yeah.
I think it's kind of a shame that it didn't get one. I mean, we could probably do the same thing with Flygon should get a Mega. The number of people that asked for that, even before, like, it was announced that they tried to give it to one, but they couldn't come up with an idea. Hey, that's as annoying as the people who are just like, Gen 3 remakes confirmed, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think about that, and that meme's still going, and we're gonna get Gen 5 remakes confirmed. If they do remakes again, like a generation back to back, I'm actually going to be kind of surprised. They haven't done that in a while.
Who knows?
It's going to be kind of interesting. We'll see. Yeah, if Unova comes back, I don't know. There's like some heavy Unova hints, obviously, in the DLC. So
it's also the next one.
I'm just kind of hoping they're just like, that's your Unova callback for now. See you later.
Look, the sooner we get to Gen 7 remakes.
I don't know. Like, This one is like, I didn't feel old when we got BDSP, but this one makes me feel old.
Yeah, this one ages me a bit.
This one makes me feel old. Like Gen 7 remake or Gen 4 remakes, I'm like, this is where Puckle started. This feels really good. This feels full circle. And then Gen 5 remakes make me really sad. But yeah.
Well, do we have anyone we want to give the Green Tauros badge to?
I don't have a preference. Do you guys have a preference?
I mean, have we already given it to any of these guys? I haven't checked.
I don't know. I haven't paid attention. They can get double Green Taurus badge.
I don't know. Nico made Linian say a really horrible sentence, and I think that's funny.
That's fair. I think I'm into it then. Yeah, Nico, you get it for that.
Yeah.
Yay.
But yeah, this is going to be it for the Puckle podcast today. If you want to email us next week, let us know what your top and bottom five bug type Pokemon are. You will need to get those in pretty early this week, actually, because we're going to be recording early.
Mm-hmm.
Additionally, you need to go ahead and you can send those emails in, but you can also come and hang out with us at PuckleDiscord.com. Over on the Discord, you can go ahead and follow us on social media, Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram. Additionally, you can check us out on YouTube at youtube.com/PucklePodcast. Some additional content there. You can go ahead and you can also check out so many other things. Twitch.tv/ThePucklePodcast, though I don't think I'm going to be streaming until I get back from Japan. And then you can go ahead and follow us over on, you can follow us at Patreon at patreon.com/PucklePodcast and support the show. There's some extra bonus content there, a few different shows for you to go check out. Additionally, you can go ahead and follow us over on, but you can help us out if you buy cardboard like me over at trollandtoad.com and use code PucklePod5 at checkout for a 5% discount. But for now, guys, I have been Trainer Thatch.
I've been Linian.
I'm Mark.
And here in the Lavender Town Radio Tower, it's closing time.
Flip side.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.